Before we get started with this episode of Heart Convictions, hosted by Nina, my name is Brad, and I'm a part of the Hopecast Network, and I also host a show you may enjoy. If you love Heart Convictions, you're going to love Your Weekly Calling. Every Monday, it's a 5 to 8 minute devotional just for you. We love our listeners here at Hopecast, and what better way to start your week out than listening to God's Word on your way to work, working out, or just sitting at home. So make sure you like and subscribe to Your Weekly Calling after you listen to Heart Convictions, hosted by Nina on the Hopecast Network.
Hey, everybody, this is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Locks of Laughs, Work Advice for Me, and of course, Movie Torture, aka I am the queen of the Hopecast Network. Or if you ask me, the queen bee. I hope you're all enjoying the amazing shows we have here on the Hopecast Network. And if you are, please don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere that you listen to or watch our podcasts.
This is the Hopecast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
With me, Nina Palmer. Thank you for being here. I hope that you will continue to meet me here on Mondays when I tell you I have so much in store for us. I can't even explain. I wouldn't even know where to begin of what's ahead of us and guests I want to have. All I can tell you is we are going to learn. We're going to grow. We might be offended, but I promise you we're going to talk about some quality stuff here. So thank you for joining me. You might know me from a plethora of different things. I might have been your pastor at one point. I might have spoke at your church. I might have arrested you or been your bail bondsman. But you probably know me from TV. And I was on 60 Days In on A&E Season 9, a reality show where they put innocent people into jail and record it. So let's begin. I thought I would formally introduce myself first since the show. I have gotten so many incredible DMs and messages and emails from people and just saying the nicest stuff. Like, I appreciate you being real and the authenticity of it all is what drew me to you. I want to thank you. Thank you for saying this. And I feel like we need people who are bolder. And I think if anything, that's probably what you were drawn to. We are a very sugar-coated society, wishy-washy, tiptoe. And we kind of just need somebody who's going to cut it straight, right? And if you don't have a friend who cuts it to you straight, well, folks, let me be that for you, please. I am originally from Ohio. So I thought I'd give you kind of a good intro because sometimes, you know, you kind of get invested into somebody and you're like, wait, why did they say this? Why did they say this? And there's a lot of compartments and a lot of moving parts. And I just want to kind of give you a formal introduction, one that I would have loved to have had even on the show or in anything, but originally from Ohio, don't judge me too hard on that. Ohio is a polarizing place. If you've never been, then whatever you're envisioning it to be like, it's probably very different. It's unlike anything I've ever seen in my life. I do think it makes really balanced people though, because think about what their location is. It's the heart of America, right? Even the shape of it and the placement of it. And it really adds an element to people that I can't explain because we are geographically, and you can fight me on this, but this is true. I learned this recently. We are the beginning of the South. There really is this element of like a Southern feeling there, at least the hillbilly aspect of it. That's there for sure. But then we border Michigan and kind of think about that. So then there's a little bit of it that feels very almost, dare I say, almost kind of East Coast. Like if you go to Cleveland, that feels very kind of East Coast to me. And yet it is the Midwest and it's very country and yet it has these major cities. And where we're at, we're kind of this crossroads of different demographics, West Virginia and Illinois and really close to Pennsylvania. So all of that kind of combined, it equals a train wreck slash glorious delight, like McDonald's fries, if you will, like kind of bad, but kind of great. And it really just installed this very unique aspect, I think, into who I am. I think people from Ohio are funnier than anybody I've ever met or lived. I will tell you that. There's a grittiness, and that is a huge component to how I ended up here, I think. My parents, though, were both from immigrant families, and so that plays a big role too. While they raised me in the pits, they were not from that. And they were both Bavarian descent. Both of my parents, full-blooded German. That's pretty rare these days to be full-blooded. I know a lot of people kind of identify with different cultures, like because they heard that they had bloodline there, but to really come from culture is such a gift. And both my parents were fluent in German. I grew up in a very ethnic household, very ethnic. And we were loud and all those things that you could think, and very German, just different. And yet they raised me in, when I tell you Hillbilly, Ohio, I'm from Newark, Ohio. Do y'all know where that's from? Probably not. But it is a world of its own. And I don't even think I knew how different it was until I went to college. And I was like, oh, are you trying to tell me not everybody's like this? I truly didn't know. I thought we were all just a little wild. So turns out they're not. I learned that real quick. So from Ohio, born and raised, and my parents had lived in Cleveland a long time before I did. So they lived kind of where all the immigrants lived in Cleveland, just had a whole different life there. Big, big city kind of feel. And then they decided to pack up and roll out and raise this little baby daughter. I was an only child in Hillbilly Land Central. And I'm even very different than my cousins that were raised in Cleveland. And they'll be like, you know, what's going on? My parents would say, and they're very German selves, installing very German morals into me, would be like, where did you come from? I mean, they thought, my mom would be like, she'd say to me, who raised you like this? You know, I'd be like, I don't know these streets. Look where y'all are raising me. You know, it's rough out here. It was a very just eclectic town, we're going to call it, but I loved it. It was a good life. It was a good childhood, good upbringing. I probably had the quintessential childhood. And not a lot of people can say that. My parents loved each other. My dad was a pastor. He was also a truck driver and a plethora of multiple things. He was a photographer at the same time. He would do like small photography work. He was the official 4-H photographer for our county fair. Just really a really cool, really eclectic guy. But first and foremost, he was a pastor. And my parents came from what you would know to be like the Jesus culture, the Jesus movement of kind of, what would that be? I guess the 70s and 80s. I think there was a movie recently about it. I didn't see it. But I think it's kind of along those lines. Just these people who were questioning the format of church and really wanting to incorporate the more radical side of what the Bible offers about Christianity into it. And so they were different. My dad was a different kind of pastor. He was also a motorcycle rider and just a really unique guy. And they led a life that was honorable and good, decent humans, good parents, and really offered me the most stable home, really sweet environment, loving, safe, fun, you know, good food and traditions, and just gave me something really rememberable. I have nothing but fond memories growing up in church, sweetest of times. So, so wonderful. And even though I was very aware of kind of the church politics, even when I was young, it was so real and authentic. And my dad walked the walk that it just left the best taste in my mouth when it came to Christianity and church, and I never wanted to veer away from it. And so my dad then would say that when he was a head pastor, and he said then he felt like he got a promotion, which people wouldn't normally say, to kind of be invested into young people and youth and teens. And this is right when I was a teenager. And so what we did is we started then a youth church, and it was called House of David in Newark, Ohio. I was 16. And he goes, you're going to help me with this. And we're going to do this together. And it was this incredible movement. It was really cool for the area where we were hosting church, but then also hosting like Christian concerts. And just, he made himself available to anybody in the community. And he just, in that time, taught me so much, truly impacted lives personally in a way I've yet to see out of any other leadership, and just was incredible. Just the best example. I feel as though I had no choice but to live a life that was semi-set apart because I had such an incredible example. So at 16, we start this youth church, absolutely incredible. And I did it all, you know, we were in worship and we preached and just kind of did it all. And I was having a home group, a Bible study at my house then once a week, and inviting people from school, from my high school. I had went to private school, kindergarten through eighth grade, and then went to public school. And I was inviting kids, you know, you wouldn't even imagine, the kids that were selling drugs at school, the black kids, the white kids, the Hispanic kids, a girl in a wheelchair would always come. I was just like, hey, you want to talk about Jesus? Like, do you want to heal some of these things that hurt inside? What do you know what we're all looking for? It's Jesus. And people were showing up at my parents' house. It looked like an ad for diversity. I'm not kidding you. There was not one demographic. It was come one, come all. And if you know anything about Ohio, the kind of the scene kids are a big deal there. They were all there skateboarding. And it was just a really cool season, really cool time. It formed who I am. And people were flushing drugs down the toilet at this. And I learned then how to kind of be an evangelist and how to be a pastor and all that entailed. So I graduated then at 18, and simultaneously I went to Bible school when I was 16 to 18 also, and got just an associate's degree in biblical studies, learned incredible information in that time though. It formed who I am. And then I went to ministry school in, believe it or not, of all places in this world that you could imagine, in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. And I studied under a pastor that I to this day really respect. And it was this hands-on ministry time. And it was the most beneficial thing I could have done for that season of my life. Didn't fully know what God had in store for me, but I did know that I wanted to do it with him. And we'll talk more about that later. My dad actually has some ties in Canada. He had dual citizenship. So it was just a cool season to connect with that. And I was really lucky to give that part of my youth. And I couldn't recommend it more to people than to give a season where you really dedicated to God. So from there, I went back to Ohio, went back home and started to figure out, what does my life look like? What do I want to do now? My parents did not drive college really hard, so that wasn't forced upon me. So I worked in a couple different areas just to kind of feel out what I wanted to do. Did all the things that 20-year-olds do. And I, a couple years down the road, decided I did want to go to college. And I was working so hard in so many areas, but I decided I was going to go to design school. And I loved it. It was so hard. It was so great. The design industry is really gritty. You went through some fairly traumatizing things while I was in college. I'm sure we'll talk about that later. But got this incredible education and loved it. The hard part was it was really expensive. Design school was really expensive. And I was spending all this money and pretty much paying for it myself and working like a million jobs to do it. I was like working at a hotel overnight, doing homework, just hustling, right? And I was also simultaneously working at a restaurant that had a bar, as they do. And what would happen is they had a bar, but the restaurant was on Ohio State's campus. It was called Hound Dog's Pizza. And they were open 24 hours. And I was a third shift server. And so the bar would close, which had security. But then when security left, we were all kind of left to ourselves to fend for ourselves. And it was a rough crowd, right? Weekends on a college campus. So I was like chasing people who weren't paying their bills. I was like a bouncer then. Once security left, it was me. And we would just have these hilarious conversations like, why are you doing this? How did we get here? You know, how are you so tough and gritty? And I had to really self-reflect in that moment. I couldn't believe that nobody else was. And that was when I had this revelation of like, sis, you ain't like everybody else. You ain't scared of nothing. And somebody asked me there, where does that come from? It was this man, this regular who came every night to eat by himself till like, he'd come like when nobody was there, like 5 a.m. And maybe it was an angel, right? And he'd have these conversations with me and he goes, I saw how you threw that guy out of here. You manhandled him. How did you get like this? And I was like, I don't know. How did I get like this? We're still unsure. But what I realized is it was because of where I was from. And kids were scrappy where I was from. You know, we grew up scrapping a little bit. You know what I mean? It was a little bit country, a little bit hood. It was a little bit of it all. So you learned real quick. And that mixed with pure German blood is something scary. Thank God I'm a Christian. So then I started thinking about it and I was like, you know what? I could work in something with criminals, I bet. My lack of fear, or maybe just my intensified stupidity, something is working for me. And I kind of spoke something into existence. And I said, I think I'd be really good in the bail bond industry. Just said it, right? Didn't pursue it, didn't look into it, just kind of said it. And at the time I was also nannying a couple, babysitting, you know, a couple mornings a week for a family. And it was so funny because the lady I worked for, who's one of my closest friends now, she goes, oh, we're friends with somebody who owns a bail bond company. I'll put you in contact. Better yet, you'll meet him at, you know, their kid was having a birthday party. You'll meet him at the birthday party. Met him. Thank you, John Handler. Gave me my start in bail bonds. I'll appreciate you the rest of my life. And I said something to him. He goes, you want to try it? I said, sure. Went in a week later and began the process of becoming a bail bondsman. So we'll talk about that later too. So remind you, I'm simultaneously, if it sounds like I had 10,000 jobs at the time, it was because I did. Okay. If anything, your girl's going to work. I can tell you that. So I was working because design school's so expensive. It's so expensive. It was a fine art school too. So I was buying like so many different supplies and I was a fashion major. So we were buying fabrics and expensive fabrics and you're still learning how to paint. And I took glass blowing and I took small scale metals, which was, we were buying gold and silver. So the expenses were never ending. Not to mention I lived on my own. And so I was like, I need to make some money. Like I need to make real bank, and got my start in that and immediately did better than I would have ever suspected. So well that I was then working on other people's cases too, not just my own. I was hunting for the other cases too and quickly realized what that learned and did really well in it, loved it. And then was also still working as a pastor in many ways then too, once I got established in that industry and did it for a long time and then became a pastor too. I was able to do that. Lots of pastors work, if you don't know that, outside of the church for income. And then wanted to still pursue my design. And so I would do freelance design, full-time bail bonds, and then, you know, we could call it volunteer work, if you will, as a pastor in a lot of ways too. And it was just this really cool road. Later then moved to Texas and really pursued design once I was there, contracted as a bonds, I use the word bounty hunter very lightly because you're not supposed to use that word in Ohio. You're supposed to call yourself a skip tracer. And, you know, did more of that too. And then I was asked to be on 60 Days In only because they had seen my online presence of bail bond work. And I had did some news clips or interviews against the potential bail bond reform that they were, you know, proposing in Ohio. And that, in between just a few couple bail bond posts and a reputation behind that, they reached out to me and asked me if I would be on the show 60 Days In. So I promise you that we will cover the show. I promise you we'll talk about it. I know you have questions. I get so many DMs asking me questions about the show, asking me where Melinda is, asking me if I still talk to the other participants, and asking some really good questions like, what's it like in there? What did you eat? What was your day-to-day like? But what it's done for me now since I've been on the show is just absolutely opened my eyes up to what is going on in incarceration and incarceration reform and the Bureau of Prisons and things like that. And I have been overwhelmed by corruption isn't a strong enough of a word for what goes on in there. Zero accountability is the word I want to use. And it is this hidden society. It's this hidden structure that we pay for, that we have no access to, and we can't really hold it accountable, nor do I think we care. And we're very trusting of what goes on in that. And it's a lot of inside work, right? Like they're voting in who they answer to. It's a lot of favors and it's a lot of good old boy club stuff. And then it's just this like breeding ground for just pure corruption. And we're not treating humans like humans. And I am so burdened by the information and the weight of that, that I carry it and it hurts. And I am figuring out what is the most productive way that I can be used in that direction. So know that we're going to talk about that quite a bit in the episodes to come. So we're going to talk about such a different range of topics. We're going to talk about things that are funny, lighthearted, pop culture, current things, just life things. I mean, life is so weird and so crazy. Like we better talk about them, right? Like life will throw you upside down. So I want to talk about some of those things too. We're going to have some guests on here that will be reoccurring. I got some weird friends, y'all. I'm going to tell you, I know some weird people and I'm going to have them on here too. And then I know some really great people and substantial people who will just blow your mind at how cool they are. So we're going to have them on here too. Pastors. And in my time then as a pastor, what I really found was important was discipleship and feeding into people and being with people like Jesus did and sticking to scripture and how important scripture is and how following every part of the Bible is quintessential to executing not just your calling or life, but everything, like everything the Bible predicts and everything it talked about and warned us about and what we have to do as a whole. I became really passionate in my time working in churches and being a member of churches. I became really passionate about church culture and what happens and what goes on and how are we taking care of our people. And I am so sensitive to the topic of people walking away with church hurt and losing their faith even over it sometimes. And I've had my fair share of it too. I'm going to tell you what, pastor's daughter turned pastor, you will get your feelings hurt. That's for sure. So we have all kinds of stories. I am passionate about people. I'm passionate about your calling and healing and that above almost everything else. So in the episodes to come, I will give you like a warning of what kind of episode this is. If it's not going to be kind of your direction, then you know that you can come in for the next one. If it's going to be a little more serious, come the next time. And then it'll be hilarious that time or interesting. And I'm like an eternal learner. I want to learn. I want to explore. I want to be freaked out. I want you to boggle my brain. I want to be shocked at things that people do and learn and say. And I love the why. I love figuring out why people do what they do. And I think we need to have these substantial conversations about different things. So I'm going to have guests on, co-stars from 60 Days In, other participants on. And I want to be a part of your week that really edifies you or builds you up or isn't just like an escape, but like makes you want to do better or try again or pick up. And so I wrote a little, you might want to call it a little dissertation. Sometimes it's nice to put our thoughts into one kind of reading so that we can just get it out as a whole. So I'm just going to read this to you. So this podcast is a call to live a life that truly matters in a world that often encourages conformity. And I still battle sin and struggle with pride and anything ugly that you can name. But I do know that we have to feed ourselves with insight on how to fight the good fight and raise up against anything that wants to drown us, to bury us alive, and absolutely anything we'll cling to. My goal is to present a conversation that is not only, yes, entertaining, but that it can be a place where you can expose the secrets of your heart or the things that really matter and the things that hurt. Ask questions. I want to be relatable, but I also want to break off some of those wrong mindsets that we have and give practical, realistic approaches to living a life that's set apart. I want to help you overcome the things that are drowning us, even if it's just being depressed or sad or in a slump or not being who you truly are. We are all consumed with media. I see that. There's a bazillion podcasts out there. So I won't waste your mental calories or your mental energy.
So to my fellow eternal learners and rebels and those who have taken the road less traveled,
meet me here on Mondays for the meat and potatoes of conversation on our existence, life, and simply being a human. We need to laugh for medicinal reasons and reflect. And we want to be able to be used and above all, tap into something bigger than ourselves. So here are just a few of the topics that are to come on the Heart Confection podcast. My time as a bondsman, I know y'all want to hear some stories. I get asked about that too. We'll talk about that. My time as a pastor and as a designer, relationships and marriage, dating in your 30s, 40s plus, living in an image-obsessed society, body image. We're going to talk about betrayal. Ooh, honey, I know. Wait, you don't even want. You'd be terrified if you knew how much I knew about betrayal. Body image, addiction, media, social media. We're going to talk about offense. Of course, incarceration reform, reality TV. I will answer all your questions. We're going to talk about science. We're going to talk about God. We're going to talk about your relationship with him. And hard conversation about what's going on, dare I say, politically or in society. We're going to talk about pastors. We're going to talk about church hurt. We're going to talk about church, the modern church. We're going to talk about death and grieving. We're going to talk about parenting and anything else that you can think of. I will have a lot of interactive opportunities. I want to get to know each other. And I have no doubt that we're going to become really good friends. So I'm going to give you a show worth listening to. And I know there's a lot of podcasts out there, but I have been craving something a little more meaningful and in depth, and I'm hoping to bring that to you. So I hope that you will come back on Mondays. It means a lot. And we're going to get to know each other real well, I think. I promise you a good time, and I will be very mindful of how important your time is. So I will not just show up with just, you know, jibber jabber, okay? I mean, we can shoot the breeze if you want to do that too, but we're going to give you some substance. So I hope that you will come and revisit us every Monday. And if you would, when you listen to this episode, if you would please share it, that would mean so much to me and kind of give us a good kickoff. Say, hey, this is something different. I'd like for you to listen to it. Kind of have a different perspective on things. I really, really resonate with how hard it is to be a human. I get it. It's so brutal out there. I can't even believe we make it half the time. And at the same time, we are called to something higher. And we have to kind of balance both of those things. So join us every Monday for the Heart Convictions podcast on the Hopecast Network. And I will be here and we're going to have a really good time that I can promise you. Okay, we will talk soon, friend. Join me next Monday. Love you. Bye. We'll be right back.